Thank you for that, Charlotte. We've got a special guest speaker this morning for a time, and so we'll have Jim come and give us a recitation this morning. We've got some character from decades ago, centuries ago, coming to join us this morning.
My name is Peter. My heart is filled with emotion as I think of the time I spent with Jesus, walking with him day by day. I remember the first time I saw him. My brother Andrew came running up and said, "We have found the Messiah." And he took me to him. Jesus looked at me and said, "You are Simon Bar-Jonah. From henceforth, you should be called Peter." I saw him do many miracles, feeding the multitudes, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, cleansing lepers, raising the dead back to life. I saw his great compassion for people. We walked together, ministered together, and prayed together. I remember the day he told me to get out of the boat, and I walked on the water. I was there the day he calmed the storm. And we realized even the winds and the waves obeyed him. I knew he was God in the flesh, as I once declared, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I remember the time he began washing our feet. And I said, "You should never wash my feet." And he said, "If I wash not your feet, then you have no part with me." And I said, "Then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head also." I remember the night we ate the Passover together. Jesus was very solemn. He told us that soon he would be killed, but he would raise again from the dead. We did not understand what he was talking about. He also told us that one of us in that room would betray him. I was shocked. Each of us declared we would not betray him. But he looked at me and said, "Peter, tonight, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times." I got angry. And I said, "Even if all these others forsook him, I would not forsake him. Even if I had to die for him, I would not deny him." Later, after supper, we walked to the Mount of Olives and on to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was very heavy of heart. He asked us to pray with him, but we kept falling asleep. Then came that terrible moment when Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. He had made an agreement with the chief priests, elders, and scribes, that whosoever he would kiss would be Jesus, so they could take him and try to have him put to death. As he kissed him, some of the men rushed up and grabbed Jesus. I was ready to fight for him, even against that great crowd. I took my sword and swung it at one of them. As I swung, he jumped back. I missed his head, but cut off his ear. As I stood there trembling in fear and anger, I watched as Jesus healed that man's ear. It was restored whole instantly. Then we all fled. We left Jesus to face that angry crowd alone. I watched at a distance as they bound him and led him off into captivity like a common criminal. I didn't know what to do. I turned and followed at a distance. They took Jesus to a courtyard at the palace of the high priest. It was cool that night, and I joined some others by a fire to warm myself. I could see Jesus from there. I was watching to see what would happen when a maid came up and said, "You are also with Jesus of Galilee." I was taken in fear as those in our group looked at me. "No, I am not. I don't know him. I continued watching Jesus in the angry crowd. Things did not look good. Another in our group said, "Are you not also one of his disciples?" "No, I am not. I don't know him." As I continued watching, some of the men began hitting Jesus. I wanted to do something, but felt so helpless. Another in our group said, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean and your speech gives you away." I began cursing and swearing, saying, "I do not know that man." Just then Jesus turned and looked directly at me as a cock crowed. I then remembered him earlier telling me I was to deny him. I realized I had just denied the very best friend I ever had. I felt so guilty and ashamed. I turned and ran quickly into the dark. I cannot describe the anguish I felt that night. My heart was breaking. I felt so worthless. And then they crucified him. They had no cause. He did nothing wrong. They nailed him to a cross and watched him die. All of our hopes and dreams were gone. The one we put our very focus into, was dead. Our belief that he was the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, could no longer be true. At first, the feeling of great sorrow, disappointment, and anger. But then came the feeling of fear. The chief priests and scribes hated Jesus and had him put to death. Next, they would probably be coming after us, his closest followers, to put us to death also. We would have to meet in secret and in hiding until further plans could be made. It was indeed a very trying time. Things are not the same without Jesus there anymore. It was Jesus who could give us comfort during times of distress. It was Jesus who could give us comfort when we needed help. Things are not the same without Jesus there anymore. And we were all uncertain as to what the future might hold. Three days passed. It was the first day of the week. Some of us had gathered in our hiding place. We still had no sense of direction. The doors were locked for fear of the Romans and Jews. Suddenly there was a pounding on the door. Our hearts froze in fear as we thought they had found our hiding place and had come for us. But then we recognized the voice of Mary Magdalene crying for us to open up. As we opened the door, some of the women came rushing in. They were out of breath because they had been running. "Jesus is alive," Mary cried. "What? It's Jesus. He has risen from the dead. He's alive." "What are you talking about?" "It's Jesus. He's alive. We just saw him a little while ago. He has risen from the dead. He is alive." I went over to her. "Mary, it has been a most trying time. Mary, we all know that Jesus died on the cross. Mary, Jesus is dead. You must accept this." "I know he was dead, Peter. I was there. I was also there when they put him in a tomb. I know he was dead. But I'm telling you, Peter, he has risen from the dead. He is alive. We just talked with him along the way." The other women were also trying to convince us that Jesus was indeed alive. Mary continued, trying to catch her breath. "I know this is hard to believe, Peter, but you must. This morning, about daybreak, some of us went with spices to anoint the body of Jesus. There hadn't been time the other night because the Sabbath was approaching, so we had to wait until this morning. When we arrived, we were met by two angels in shining garments that said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you while he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of wicked men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." We began running to bring your word, Peter, and along the way we met him. We met Jesus. We held him by the feet and worshiped him. And then he said, "Fear not, but go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me." Peter, he's risen from the dead. He's alive. But what about the stone, Mary? How'd you roll a stone away? We didn't have to. It was already rolled away. I couldn't speak. All I could do was stare at her in disbelief. Mary looked around at all the others listening. "You don't believe us, any of you. The tomb. Go to the tomb and see for yourself. His body is not there because he is risen from the dead." Then she turned to me. "Peter, go to the tomb and see for yourself. This is the third day. Go see for yourself. His body is not there. He is risen from the dead." I ran out the door. John was right behind me. Many thoughts began going through my mind as we ran along. What could she be talking about? Jesus was dead. He died on the cross. But her joy, her pleading for us to believe her, she seemed so sure. I wanted to believe her. But believe what? How? Could she have seen the angels as she claimed? We were quickly approaching the tomb. John had ran before me, had passed me, and was running ahead. We came around a small hill, and there was a tomb. The stone! The stone has been rolled back! What is happening? John had stopped and was looking in the opening, but I came running up. I ran past him and on inside. We looked around. Jesus' body was not there. The tomb was empty. The only thing we found were his burial cloths lying folded. We continued looking around, but there was nothing else to see. There were no angels. Then John turned and looked at me, his face filled with excitement. "Peter, it's beginning to make sense now. Yes. Yeah, yes. Peter, remember, he said he would be crucified, but he would rise again in 3 days. Yes. Peter, it's been 3 days. Yes. Peter, Jesus is alive. I know it." I could not accept this. It just did not make sense. I continued looking around. But there was nothing else to see. Later, I went back to be with the others. When I entered, they came running up. "Well, what did you find?" "The tomb is empty. Jesus' body is not there." "Then where is he?" "I don't know. Maybe some men came, rolled the stone away, stole his body, and took it away. I don't know." Mary came running over to me. "Yes, Peter. Yes, his body is not there. Yes, the tomb is empty because he has risen from the dead. Peter, we talked with him earlier today. Peter, what can I say to get you to believe me?" I was troubled. I turned and walked over by a window and stood there looking outside. Suddenly there was a hush in the room. I turned and someone was standing there that hadn't been there before. I began trembling in fear as I thought I was seeing an angel, a spirit. Then he said, "Fear not. Behold my hands and my feet." I looked at his hands. There were nail prints there. I looked at his feet. There were nail prints there too. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. There was no doubt it was Jesus standing there. A miracle has taken place. Jesus has risen from the dead. The women were right all along. Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus is alive.